You like flowers?
Yes, I do like flowers.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I'll actually take a copy of the packet as well. Okay. Kosher business, the title is. So what we're going to talk about today is that I think that we're all familiar that there's a kosher Torah observing Jew knows that there are foods that we are allowed to eat, and there are foods that we have a mitzvah to eat, a commandment to eat, and there are other foods that are prohibited to eat. And there are many of those. What's less commonly known is that besides for the foods that are prohibited to eat, there is also other prohibitions with the food. Namely, there are certain foods that you're not even allowed to cook. If you would want to be a chef or in a non-kosher restaurant, there are different foods that it's prohibited for you to cook them. There are foods that it is prohibited for you to have any benefit from them whatsoever. There are some foods that it's permitted to have benefit, however, you're not allowed to have a business buying and selling those type of foods. That's what we're going to discuss today. Not necessarily the prohibition of eating the foods, but the other prohibitions, business related, associated with those foods. So before we start, just a brief introduction about the food and different commandments that we have in the Torah regarding prohibitions and positive commandments of eating food. So there are taryag mitzvot in the Torah. There are 613 mitzvot that we are commanded in the Torah. Of those 613 mitzvot, 53 of those mitzvot directly relate to food. That's a pretty high percentage. 53 mitzvot out of 613 are directed towards food. Hence why we are all that connected, and everything in Judaism goes around food. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's not by fault. Okay, a few examples. I put in these packets up here. I made four different groups of food, which for me, it was just a little bit of a memory aid that most of those foods will go into one of those categories. These are not necessarily, you can make categories as you like, but this is the way that I categorize them. So there's the first or one of the categories would be a person. So how a person relates to food. Not necessarily when we think of food, we think of food that is inherently non-kosher, but there are certain foods that are, because of who I am or because of my status or my place that I find myself, there are certain foods that I'm not allowed to eat, which would be, for example, truma. So there is tithing. There is tithing that I must give from what I grow in my field. I must give that to the Kohen. I must give it to the priest. And those foods, besides for the fact that if I eat them, I'm stealing what belongs to somebody else, I'm actually prohibited to eat those foods. That would be truma. Another one would be challah, when a baker or a person in a home baking bread bake something, if he's baking a large enough amount, part of that bread must go to the Kohen. That's what the Kohen lived off. He was serving in the temple. He was studying and learning all day, providing assistance to the Jewish people through his studying, and we would give a partial of our bread to the Kohen, and that is prohibited for us to eat.
What is his wife doing?
His wife? Taking care of the kids. Probably she had a small side business, medical, you know, something or another, books or, yeah. Yeah, men could bake challah too. I don't bake challah, but some of my boys do. A carbon pesach. So we know that in the time of the temple, there was a mitzvah to bring the carbon pesach. Hopefully that should come speedily in our days. We'll be able this year to bring the Karban Pesach soon. Somebody who did not have a bris milah was prohibited to bring the Karban. So again, that's because of who he is. He's not allowed to partake in the Karban Pesach. My sister Shani, there's a mitzvah that some of the produce that is grown in my field, if I was in Eretz Yisrael, I would have to go up to Yerushalayim and eat that food in Yerushalayim. However, if, God forbid, I had lost a parent, the day that I lose that parent, I'm not allowed to eat my tersheni. It's a little bit of a interesting law that's seemingly strange, but that's the law. So those are, I don't know the reason why. I mean, the reason why is because it has to be eaten with joy. And somebody that is an avela, somebody that is doesn't have that joy. There is more commonly, we know the types of food that are inherently prohibited. For example, pork we know are prohibitively in prohibited. Shellfish, aphids and thrips that are found in many vegetables and leafy items. I know that's a hot topic. Those are prohibited. Don't eat those. Wash. Make sure to wash off all your leafy vegetables. Chalev, which is fat, generally in the hind quarters, that is special fats that are prohibited to eat. They look identical to fats that are permitted to eat, but these are prohibited in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Most of them would actually be brought up on the altar, be brought up on the Mizbeach. Another common is the Nevelo Trefa. So even if I have a cow, but if the cow has a blemish that would cause it not to live out throughout the year, then that would be prohibited to eat that animal, and there are 18 of those. That is what we check for by the Shechita. We check the internal organs to make sure that it's a healthy animal.
Because
of the sciatic nerve? Not because of just because of the health of the animal. We want to eat healthy animals. We don't want to eat sickly animals.
Can we not kill them?
Oh, excellent question. We're going to talk about that. That is a very, very, very good question. That's a really good question. Okay, different times. There are certain times in the Jewish year where we are allowed to eat items, and if those exact same items, because of the time of the year that we find ourselves in, we're not allowed to eat those items. For example, again, coming up Pesach, chametz bread, we're allowed to partake all year round, bread and cake and noodles. We have no problem eating. However, on Pesach, that is prohibited. Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to eat anything. We're allowed to eat kosher food all year round. Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to eat something of Shvi'as, that is the Rabbanan. Arla, that's something that is not yet been, is a tree that is under 5 years old. That's prohibited to eat those fruits also. And then the fourth section would be rabbinic decrees. There, as we know, we have many, many, many rabbinic decrees. Those are all fences to keep us far away from doing a sin. For example, would be chametz, even after Pesach is prohibited. So if I decided, God forbid, that I did not sell my chametz on Pesach, and I have it in my home, and I say, well, all right, well, I didn't, you know, I didn't sell it before Pesach, but now the Passover is over, let me partake of that. One is not allowed to. You're not allowed to eat chametz that wasn't sold and was owned by a Jew on Pesach. That's something that people have to be careful for, especially when buying liquor. If you're going to buy it from a kosher store, you got to make sure that either it's new stock that hasn't been around for Pesach, or the fellow actually did sell chametz. In New York, there has been a huge advances on these giant alcohol distributors that are owned by Jews for them to sell their chametz on Pesach. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing that they're doing, saving a lot of people from doing something they shouldn't be doing. Pas akum, bread that a non-Jew bakes. So if I have a non-Jewish neighbor who's a wonderful person, he has a new oven, never ever been used for non-kosher, he only uses kosher ingredients and he bakes me a bread, I'm not allowed to eat that bread. That is a rabbinic decree that I'm not allowed to eat bread that was baked in a non-Jew's oven. Good question as far as bakeries that are owned by non-Jews, those we are allowed to eat, although originally the rabbis had said that that was prohibited also, but they realized that we wouldn't be able to survive like that. We have to have bread, and the non-Jewish bakers are baking them, so as long as it's kosher, we're all right with that. Wine, as far as wine, if a non-Jew touches wine, we're concerned that that might have been, he might have thought that he's sacrificing it for a avodah zarah, for idol worship, and therefore that is prohibited. And bishlakim is also similar to the bread. If a non-Jew makes for me a dish, buys chicken from me at kosher deli, and he cooks it up with kosher ingredients, I'm not allowed to eat that chicken either. That is called bishlakim. So that's just a little bit of an introduction to various items that are prohibited from eating. The source of these items that we are prohibited of eating is from the Torah in Parsha Shmini, that's in Vayikra, chapter 11. The Torah states there, "Zos haTorah tafahim ba'ayif ha'chol nefesh ha'chaya ha'remesh b'mayim ha'chol nefesh ha'shereset al ha'aretz." This is the law of the animal, the bird, and every living creature that moves in the water, and every creature that creeps on the earth. What the Torah is telling us is a not a recap, but a cap on what it had said from much of that parsha, which is dealt with all the different animals, fish, birds, insects that I am allowed to eat and that I'm not allowed to eat. As we know, all animals have to have certain signs in order for us to eat them. Fish, insects, and birds are the same. Birds are a little bit different, but those items all are specifically told us and taught us by the Torah exactly what we are allowed to eat and what we're not allowed to eat. The second verse that we have in the Torah is in Parshas Re'eh, and there it tells me in Parshas Re'eh that the lo soichelu kol nevela l'ger shebisherecha tisnema v'achlo oy machlo nachay ki am kodesh ata l'Hashem l'kecha lo yisevash al gidi b'chalei v'may, that you we are a holy nation, and those animals that are either are unhealthy because they are a trefa, so they can't live, they would not be able to live out the year, their organs, something wrong with their health, or roadkill, or something that I find it in my flock, I got a dead sheep, I'm not allowed to eat that, I may sell it to a non-Jew or to a ger. A ger, of course, does not mean here a convert, the way we understand the convert. There is two types of converts that we are discussing with, that we discuss. Generally speaking, when we discuss a convert, that means somebody who is a full-fledged Jew, same as me and you, they just weren't born that way. But as soon as they make their conversion, as long as it's done properly, they're 100% Jew. There's another Jew that's not 100% Jew. That's a Jew that lives in Israel, and he decides that he will not be Oved Avodah Zarah. He will not serve idol worship, and that is also called a convert. He's a non-Jewish convert. And that person, he gets, he is rewarded with animals that we can't eat. We're supposed to either sell that to him or give that to him as a gift. Okay, those are the laws as far as what animals we can eat and not, and even the animals that we can eat, as far as their health, what would preclude those animals from being eaten. There's another type of common case of something that we're not allowed to eat, and that is that when we have two things that are 100% kosher, such as what we were talking about before, I got a block of cheese, I have a slice of cheese, and I have a hamburger, and I'm not allowed to cook that hamburger with the cheese, or I'm not allowed to make a dish that has milk and meat inside of it. That's prohibited by the Torah, and that is something that is a very, very common thread in the Torah that you'll find, that there are many things that we're not supposed to combine. There are things that we have to, you gotta keep them separated for all those all those fans out there. Yeah, so left my electric guitar at home. But that's really a common thread in the Torah. There are many items, generally they're called shatnez, clothing that we wear, that you're not supposed to have wool and linen together in them. When we work our fields, we're not supposed to have two different types of animals that are pulling the plow and other laws as well. That law of basar v'chalav, meat and milk, is mentioned three times in the Torah. Very, very interesting. The exact same words are three times in the Torah. It is incredibly uncommon to find in the Torah the exact same words written twice. The Torah is very parsimonious and doesn't write anything that it doesn't have to. Each and every letter is weighed, and if something is written more than once, there's a good reason for it. So here we have in Parshas Mishpatim, that's Shmos Chav Gimel, it says, Reshit v'kuriyat matachat habi beis Hashem l'kecha, lai tzavash al gedi b'chalei v'mo, I'm supposed to bring the bikurim, the choice fruit, I bring up to also, it's a present to the Kohen, but that's not what we're talking about. The end of the pasuk discusses, don't cook, do not boil a kid in its mother's milk, which we all know that means, don't cook or broil or bake or fry or grill or any other type of cooking a milk and meat together. Not allowed to do that. Then it repeats it very soon after. This is actually last week's parsha that we read in the synagogue. For all those that were paying attention during the reading, you would have seen this pasuk. It says, the exact same words again, it says over in the pasuk. And there, Rashi explains to us that let's just say the last one, and then we'll say the reason. And then the last one is in Parshas Re'eh, and in Parshas Re'eh again, it says, Lo yisayecha kol nevela, lager shevi sherecha, tisnena va'ochla, al-machla l'nachari kam kadosho ata, that pasuk we quoted before regarding roadkill or other animals that's not kosher. And then at the end of the pasuk again, we repeat the same thing that we've already said twice, which is Lo yisayecha kol nevela, lager shevi, don't cook milk and meat. Rashi comments in two of the places that there are two things, there are many more than two, but there are at least two things that we derive from these verses. One is, the reason why it says it three times is to tell me that there are three different types of prohibitions with milk and meat. One prohibition is, as we know, the simple one, eating. I'm not allowed to eat milk and meat. Although milk is kosher and meat is kosher, when I mix the two of them together, it becomes now unkosher and I'm not allowed to eat it. It's actually more unkosher than pork is milk and meat. So it's kind of interesting. The second thing is that not only am I not allowed to eat it, I'm not allowed to cook it. So if I'm a chef and they tell me they would like me to cook up a meal that has milk and meat, I have a problem. Don't know if I'm allowed to do that. Simply, under normal circumstances, I'm not. If we have time, we'll discuss different scenarios that you will be able to do it. However, all would agree, if I have kosher beef and kosher milk, I'm definitely not allowed to put those two together. Any variation of that might be, there might possibly be some wiggle room. But a kosher steak with a kosher piece of cheese that's grilled on top of it, that you'll not be able to do. Again, it's important to know that milk and meat, even though we're so careful, we wait, many of us wait 6 hours if we have a meat dish, and then we want to have a coffee with milk, we'll wait 6 hours for that. However, biblically, the halacha is, the law is, that I'm not allowed to eat them together. Not only must it be together in order to actually transgress that biblical law, but also they have to be cooked together. So if I were to take a hamburger and put on top of it a piece of cheese, that is rabbinically not allowed, which is also very, very severe, and don't try it, you shouldn't do that. But it's not biblically prohibited. Biblically, from the Torah, is only if you are cooking them together, a piece of meat and some milk or cheese or something of that nature.
I don't understand the difference in what you did in the two examples you just gave. What's the difference?
You don't understand the reason for the difference, or you don't understand the actual difference?
I don't understand the difference. I mean, and I don't understand the rabbinic need to say that as well. Because you're cooking them together.
So if I were to have a salad that I have bits of chicken inside my salad and I also have cheese inside that salad.
That's not cooking.
That's not cooking.
That I understand.
That's prohibited rabbinically. But rabbinically that's prohibited.
Got
but minat Torah, from the Torah, only if I go ahead and I actually cook the milk and meat. So I have a pot of stew, and I pour in milk, that is prohibited.
But your example of the hamburger that you put the cheese on, that's cooking together.
If the hamburger is hot, and is able to cook the cheese, then it would be. If the hamburger is at room temperature, hamburger, and I put on a piece of cheese, then that wouldn't be cooking.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. That's what I mean.
Should have given a better example than the hamburger. That's not the best example. Yeah, generally speaking, the hamburger and the cheese are cooked together. Yeah, I think you're correct. You're correct on that. Okay. That's the only thing, you know, when I talk to people, I visit so many different, that's what I do all day, I visit different food establishments, and when I talk to people about kosher, oh, all right, big deal, so you never ate pork, but then when I tell them I've never, ever had a cheeseburger, that's something that an American that hasn't had a cheeseburger, that, I think if you're European, you don't, but it's an American dish, cheeseburger, no? Okay. All right. Now, moving along to more of what we really came here today to discuss. So, let's just talk about a few different scenarios, and then we'll get to more of the meat of it. So, there is halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch that says that the rabbis decreed, well actually it doesn't say the rabbis decreed, it says that not only is one not allowed to eat pork, shellfish, but also you're not allowed to have a business, you're not allowed to sell it. So that means that, let's say, I have an Amazon business, and I'm buying a skid of mixed items on that pallet, on that skid, and there's all sorts of things on there. I could have, I could have...
pork and beans.
Yeah, I could have all sorts of, right, all sorts of food and pork and beans, and right, pork and all sorts of things, snack foods, and there's a very good chance that I'm buying together on that skid, I'm buying... items that are non-kosher. Am I allowed to buy that, and am I allowed to sell it? So we'll deal with that question. What about if I am a pet? I'm a pet food store owner, and I sell pet food. So most pet food that is not vegetarian pet food has meat in it. Am I allowed to sell that? I'm allowed to sell that pet food. So that's am I allowed to buy pet food? That's not such a, not such a big deal, because as long as I make sure that the pet food does not have milk and meat inside of it, I'm okay. If it has milk and meat, if it's got meat and dairy inside the pet food, then that would be a prohibition, as we said, to, have benefit from it. Did I say that? Did I forget to say that? I forgot. I skipped that. So the prohibition of dairy and meat is to eat it, to cook it, and to derive any benefit from it whatsoever. I'm not allowed to derive benefit. So if I have pet food that I'm feeding my pet, who I like very much, and I derive benefit from that pet eating, I'm not allowed to feed it meat and dairy. So if the pet food has meat and dairy, I'm not allowed to feed it that pet food. Actually, an interesting law that's stated by the laws of chametz. So milk and meat I'm not allowed to derive any benefit from. Chametz on Pesach, any bread or leavened item, I'm not allowed to derive benefit from as well. Am I allowed to, if I find something on Pesach, I meant to get rid of it, I forgot, I didn't see it, whatever it was, could I take it and put it in the alley so the strays will be able to eat it? I don't want to waste it. Why should I waste it, burn it, throw it in the garbage? Let me put it in the alley and the stray animals will eat it. So am I allowed to do that? The answer is I am not allowed to do that. So I asked my daughter the question this morning. She says, yes, why not? That's a nice thing to do. Give it to the animals. Why would you want to, waste it? I said, that's exactly the reason why you're not, because of your answer. Because you're deriving benefits from strays eating it. That is a human nature.
You feel good.
You feel good. Human nature to Yes, to take care. All right. What about if I have a relative who is a non-Jew, and he passes away, I inherit, and he's got a large farm full of kosher and non-kosher animals, or only non-kosher animals, what can I do with them then? Am I allowed to, he's got full of pigs, pork, am I allowed to sell it? What can I do with that? The question that Patty asked, which is one of my favorites because I worked in this field for so many years, and that is a slaughterhouse. So a slaughterhouse, actually, a kosher slaughterhouse is actually more in the non-kosher business than they are in the kosher business. Reason being that kosher meat, you get about a 25% yield on your slaughter. Right. So if I'm slaughtering 10 cows, if I get 4 that are kosher, that's a good day. Out of those 4 that are kosher, I can only use the hind, the forequarters. I can't use the hind. So I really am only getting 2. So I'm getting 20% out of my, so if I have a good day and I got 50%, and then I only have to do, then I'm getting 25%. But 50% is a very high percentage in kosher. I have to have very high quality beef in order to get that. So really, I go ahead and I sell the kosher for a premium, which is why kosher is so expensive. And then I take the non-kosher and I sell that as well. So most places will butcher the non-kosher and package it, and they have a non-kosher line. So really, most kosher slaughterhouses are more in the non-kosher business than they are in the kosher business. But didn't we learn that the Shulchan Aruch tells us, I'm not allowed to sell non-kosher. So how do they get away with selling non-kosher? So we'll discuss that. One easy answer is, and this is a common roundabout for many items that a Jew is not allowed to do, but business requires me to do it, and that is I have a non-Jewish partner. When I have a non-Jewish partner, we make different contracts that show that I have all the profit on the kosher, the non-Jew has all the profit on the non-kosher. This way, I might be able to keep my store open on Shabbos. This way, on Passover, when I'm selling chametz food, I could still conduct commerce. And this is not a loophole, per se. This is, the rabbis understood that commerce must go on. So you must do the laws of the Torah, but we want you to be able to live. We even want you to be able to live comfortably, and therefore we want to be able to make it in a way that you will be able to stay in business and stay lucrative, even while you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and not transgressing any laws from the Torah. Okay, a few other questions. What about, here's a much seemingly benign one. Could I cook non-kosher for my neighbor? I'm a chef. I show him some gratitude. I know he loves this dish. It's non-kosher, lobster dish. May I cook that for him? I'm not an idiot. I'll throw away the pot afterwards. I'm not going to, could I do that? What's that?
You ought to go cook it in his house.
Cook it in his house. All right, maybe. But I want to cook it in my house. I got, am I allowed to? Okay. What should be the issue? Why not?
Because I think doing it in your house,
yeah,
opens you up for messing up.
Interesting.
Don't you get any benefit? Hey, you trip up your kitchen.
You trip up your kitchen. That's a problem, but let's see if you get around that somehow. Like getting benefit absolutely I'm getting a benefit, but getting a benefit, that's only a concern when it's milk and meat. When it's just non-kosher, then I don't have that concern, but that's absolutely correct. So for sure, I would not be able to cook something that is milk and meat. Let's say I'm just cooking plain old lobster, no milk and meat. Am I allowed to do that?
What if it's parv?
Parv, then it's kosher. Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah.
Okay. What about a kosher grocery store?
Well, hang on. Did you finish the lobster bit? Can you do that at your friend's house?
I'm gonna answer all these questions.
Oh, right.
I'm gonna answer all the questions. What about a kosher grocery store? So I provide a service for the kosher community, but as anybody that has a grocery store knows, especially if you're in a small community, very, very difficult to only make your business off the kosher clientele. I would like to get the non-kosher clientele too. So could I sell on the side some non-kosher food for my non-kosher clientele? So, and I'll mark it very clearly, it will say non-kosher, and this way I make sure that I'm not putting a stumbling block in front of any Jews that they might think that is kosher. Am I allowed to do that? So, again, seemingly I'm not. We said you're not allowed to sell non-kosher, but let's discuss that.
But what about the Hefek, that there are non-kosher stores that, you know, specialize in having kosher products so that they can capture the kosher market also, the people in the community?
But who is owning those non-kosher?
The owner is a non-Jew.
So I don't tell a non-Jew what to do.
No issue.
And I could definitely purchase items there. I could go in there. There's no concern there.
Can we do that?
Yes.
What if I own stock in Kroger?
Own stock in Kroger. That's a good question, too. That's very good. What about I sell vegetables, fruits and vegetables. That's all I sell. I sell Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus, all those items that I don't eat because they're full of insects. Am I allowed to sell those? I think that, again, Patty has the right response with a laugh. But that is an interesting question that needs to be addressed.
What if you own a mutual fund that owns Kroger stock?
Beyond my pay grade. I'm sorry. First, you got to explain to me what all that means, and then I'll... Okay. What about I by mistake bought something non-kosher, and I want to return it. Does that constitute a sale? I believe that that's an interesting question. I go into King Soopers, I grab the chicken from the kosher aisle, bring it home, I look at it, it's the non-kosher chicken. I got the wrong one. It was right there. I thought it was, I want to bring it back. Am I allowed to bring it back? Is that considered that I'm selling non-kosher? No. Patty says no.
I don't know.
You're not making a profit on
it. I'm not making a profit.
You're not getting 1/16 of a profit.
I'm not.
You spent $5, you're getting
$5. It's bad business. If that's my business, buying and returning, I gotta change my model. So you say, I agree with you. I don't think that it's a problem. I don't think it's business. I think in Hebrew we call it a mekach tos. It reverses that the sale never ever happened.
Well, you made a mistake. So you're just correcting the mistake.
If you did it on a credit card, it just comes right off of your credit card. It's not like even they, I mean, I guess if enough time passes, they'll have to credit you. But otherwise, it's just in and out. It's not, it's a wash. That wouldn't be business. I agree with you. What's that? What if I
benefit from the chicken?
How so?
Let's say you want to press some bamboo.
Ah.
This big turkey. You know, you buy it, and then you bring it back.
So, again, I'm allowed to benefit from non-kosher, only milk and meat that I can. So if I did it with milk and meat, you would not be able to do that. Yeah, correct. If it was milk and meat, you wouldn't be able to do it.
If there's a chicken, you realize you can give it to a neighbor or something
like that? Oh, that's a better question. I didn't think of that. That's a much better question. Could I give it to a neighbor? Could I give it to a neighbor? That's a very good question. We'll deal with that.
Another thing I was wondering about, if it's not obviously possible, because
sometimes
you bring something home, you got it
at
extra, and then you look at it,
it
doesn't. There's nothing inherently
tracing.
Can you give that away?
Good question as well.
I'm a good guy.
Absolutely correct. That's right. Okay, now let's discuss that. One last question, and then we'll go on. And this is actually really, really relevant in the Jewish community. I own nursing homes. And actually, we'll ask two more questions. I own nursing homes, and I got to feed the patients in the nursing home. And if I feed them kosher food, that's going to be pretty expensive. So the nursing home is in Billings, Montana, and there's not too many Jews there that I have to really be concerned about. Could I feed them non-kosher? Am I allowed to do that? Very, very relevant question that Jews deal with all the time. There are rabbis that specialize in nursing homes, end-of-life care, those types of things. They They deal with this all day long. That's all they deal with, is questions about these types of items. One last question. I got a group of guys that are doing work in my house. I told them that I want them to be there all day. I'm going to get them lunch. I'm going to take care of their, they don't have to worry about that. Do I have to go to the deli and spend $40 on a lunch per person, or could I get a happy meal? And then I'll be really happy with that, and I get a $1.99 and take care of business. So they are? I'm not buying there anymore. Not answering that question.
Not necessarily. They are Big Mac fries and a Coke is 18 something.
Really?
Because I know a waiter who went and had lunch there, and he told me it was really expensive. He told me that.
I worked for many years in cattle. And I used to work in a place in California that we did kosher, and they also did processing of meat for McDonald's. And it was not high quality meat. Mm-hmm. It was really not. So like their prices, I was able to understand how they were able to give so cheap. But whatever the case is, so I get my, could I buy for these guys, for these non-Jewish workers, could I buy them non-kosher meals, which definitely will save me some money if I do that. Okay, so these are the questions that we have. Our premise that we had started off with, I'm not allowed to do business. The Shulchan Aruch says, can't do business with non-kosher food, be it milk and meat. I can't even have any benefit from it, be it lobster, pork, shrimp. I can't sell it, but I can have benefit from it. Okay. So there are two exceptions to the rule that are stated. One exception to the rule is that it has to be food. So if what I'm selling is non-kosher, but it's not food, for example, I'm selling shtreimlich. You know those big furry hats that the Hasidim wear?
Sable fish.
Not the fish type of sable, the other type of sable. That's also expensive, sable fish. But sable, the furry, beautiful animal that are actually mean creatures, I've seen them, but they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And they make shtreimlich out of them, but they're not kosher. So am I allowed to do that? The answer is it's not food, so I am allowed to do that. Anything that's a food. So, but what constitutes food?
Human food? Because we already talked about pet food, dog food.
Let's talk human food.
We can even talk about what is fed to cows and chickens. What is considered food?
Food for humans.
But we can eat those.
But you said something about food with milk and meat in dog food.
Ah, dog food. So what would the Shulchan Aruch say about dog food?
Right, instead of the shtreimlich, how about if you sold dog food?
Sold dog food.
Just pet food.
Much, much better question than shtreimlich. Pet food. So I would like to sell pet food. I understand, especially here in Colorado, where I grew up in Cleveland, there wasn't so many dogs. But here in Colorado, everybody's got
a pet.
Yeah. Oh, Shomer Shabbos sat there?
Yeah.
Who?
There
it is.
Huh? I lived in Denver. I lived in Denver.
Yeah, this guy knows. Yeah. All right. So am I allowed to do that? Could I sell? Does that constitute food? So it's actually interesting that I visit a place in Logan, Utah. It's called Gossner Food. They're a dairy, a giant, tremendous dairy. And they do shelf-stable packaging of milk. They ship out throughout, they ship to the entire world. And they have a line of cat food, cat milk. And they told me that their number one question in the customer service is, I by mistake drink the cat milk, what do I do? And the answer is, it's the exact same thing. There is absolutely no difference between the cat milk and the regular milk.
So you mean milk for cats?
Milk for cats, yeah. Oh. Sorry, that was...
Is that like cashew milk for cats?
Yeah, sorry, that did not come out right. All right, so I got to... Next time I give this class, I got to make that note. Okay, milk for cats. So there's no difference. It's really interesting. And the same with dog food, even though it doesn't look very appetizing, it's 100% edible. You could eat dog food if, sadly, there have been stories of people that have done that. But you could eat it. So is that food? It sounds like food to me. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, and Ramosha writes it as well, Ramosha Feinstein, who is one of our leading halakhic authorities, says that if it's not sold as food for human consumption, that's not what the custom is in the place where you are, then that is permitted, that's not considered to be human food. Although it's 100% edible to humans.
Except for comments. For Pesach, I thought I had changed food.
Yeah, that's human food. That I'm not allowed to sell.
No. Saying dog food that's hummus in it.
Oh, dog food that's hummus in it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that. You can't buy that either. Right. Right. True. That's a good point. I didn't think of that. That's a very good point.
There's an exception to the exception.
Well, but don't forget that chametz I'm not allowed to derive benefit from. And benefit, it doesn't matter if it's food or not.
I'm not allowed to derive benefit from non-kosher food, though.
From only food, you're telling me? I'm not allowed to. Is that what we're discussing? That maybe I could derive benefit if it's not food. That wouldn't be correct. Only I'm not allowed to sell something that has to be food, which means human food, which is sold as food for people. But when it comes to benefit, even if it's not, as long as it's edible, if it's not edible, even for a dog, then I may be able to have it on Pesach. But if it's edible, even if it's only edible in dire circumstances, then I would not be able to have that on Pesach.
Okay.
Hence why we study all day, because there's a lot of nuances. Okay. Let's go to some of these other questions that we had. So what about if I had this group of workers, they're working at my place, and I told them not to go out for lunch, I'm going to feed them lunch. Am I allowed to feed them lunch? So Shulchan Aruch says that I'm not allowed to feed them lunch. Everybody argues, and I just want to bring out one point that I feel is so important, and that is one of the greatest halachic authorities that was in the past 100 years was the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan was a great lover of the Jewish people. Besides from being a lover of Hashem and the Torah, he also loved all Jews. And it pained him that he saw that people were trying to do the right thing, and it was so expensive for them. So he would try to show how you could do the right thing and still you'll be able to, you know, it shouldn't cause you such terrible anguish from doing that. So he saw people that were feeding their workers non-kosher, because it's just, so he said, I got to figure out, it's got to be permissible, because if it's prohibited, it's going to cost people just way too much money to feed them non-kosher. And he did. He figured out a way that, and he shows that when I'm feeding my workers, that's not doing any business with the food. That's absolutely not considered to be business with the food. I'm just feeding them, and therefore there's no concern with that. Similarly, it should be the same law if I'm cooking something that's just non-kosher, not milk and meat, for my neighbor, because I want to show him gratitude, I want to give him a gift, I am allowed to do that. And even though you might say, like Patty was saying, that, oh, if it's in my house, then I might come to eat it, right? If I have it, I'm cooking, I might taste it. But what's important is that the law tells me I'm not allowed to eat it, and the law tells me that I'm not allowed to sell it. It's important not to add on stringencies that are not the letter of the law. Because when that happens, we tend to make mistakes. Then we say, if that actually is permitted, then maybe the law is permitted as well. So therefore, it's important that when we're talking about the law, this is the law, and even though I might come to eat it, You just got to be careful. Don't eat it. But don't tell me that it's prohibited to do because I might come to eat it. That's not this is something that I saw this morning from Ramosha Feinstein, who had a question in 1821, he was asked by a wagon driver that was delivering non-kosher food and in Russia. And the wagon driver asked, is he allowed to deliver non-kosher food to non-Jews? That was his business. Am I allowed to, or am I not allowed to even work with non-kosher food? So Ramosha says, first of all, there's no concern that you may eat it because you're working for a Russian person. If you eat any of his food, probably you won't wake up the next morning. And in addition to that, that's not the prohibition. The prohibition is to do to sell it or to buy it, and that's not what you're doing. You're just transporting it. So you could work in logistics for non-kosher food if you want. That's okay.
So he couldn't buy it from a distributor and then sell it to somebody else, but if he's working for them, that's okay.
Correct. Okay. Correct. All right. The nursing home, I thought that was a really important question. Nursing home is actually, when I feed my patients in nursing home, that actually is business because I'm making money on that. It's definitely a definite business. Anybody knows anything about the nursing home business knows for sure. Not only is it business, I'm getting extra revenue from the government, from programs because of that, and it's for sure business. The only way around that is either to feed them kosher food, and that's a huge financial burden if you would do that, but you would have to have non-Jewish, not saying anybody non-Jewish, not kosher, I didn't say that, non-Jewish partners to work with you in that nursing home business. That would probably be the only way around it. One interesting, which I'll leave off with, I don't have a clock. What time is this?
10 after 1.
Oh, 10 after 1. Too late. I want this off earlier. Okay, so one, I'll end with this one because it's so interesting. So what about, what was the question that I had? Here it is. So there was a story that's brought down in Halacha with the Chassam Sofer brings the story down, that there was some chickens that were unruly and they jumped into a vat of boiling butter. And
yes. That's pretty foul.
That's pretty foul. That is pretty foul. So the question was, this butter now has meat inside of it, and is that permissible? Could I sell it to non-Jews or not? Milk and meat, I'm not allowed to benefit from.
Well,
and
it has feathers in it. I don't know about the meat exactly.
Yes, and feathers.
I'm just saying, I was sort of making a joke.
Oh.
The meat is still in the chicken.
Okay, right.
Can you sell it to non-Jews
or
to Jews?
Non-Jews.
Because you can't sell it to Jews.
Correct. Correct. I can't benefit from the mixture either because it's milk and meat. So the ruling was that it's usur. You're not allowed to, it's prohibited to sell this. You gotta dispose of it in a way that no one will have any benefit from it. Now, the question is that seemingly this ruling is a mistake. Because although milk and meat is prohibited, chicken is not considered to be meat. And therefore, it seems...
What year did this happen?
It was a long time ago. When did the Chassam Sofer live? 1700? Later?
When did the rabbi... 18? What year did the
early 18? 17, mid-17? Early 18? Okay. So, so seemingly it was a mistake. But, however, when they thought about it some more, they realized it wasn't a mistake. Reason being, it wasn't because of milk and meat that you were not allowed to derive benefit from it. It was something else. It was Isser Eiver Min HaChai. There's a prohibition for a Jew and a non-Jew alike. A non-Jew is not allowed to go into his farm, and before refrigeration, this was common, hack off one leg of my cow and have for dinner.
Yeah.
It's disgusting to us, and it is disgusting. It's terrible and it's cruel. And it's prohibited in the Torah for non-Jews to do that. It's called Eved Minachai. These chickens, when they went into the what he called, were alive. So therefore, that is considered to be Eved Minachai, and that is prohibited to sell to non-Jews because you're giving a non-Jew something he's not allowed to have. There is a similar, does anybody know, you'll excuse me for saying this, what do you call it, but it's I know it's a Colorado favorite, that it's also prohibited for non-Jews to eat. And that is Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yes.
Rocky Mountain oysters, we all know that Rocky Mountain oysters are testicles, but I'm not sure if we know that they're taken off when they're alive. They're not. What? I didn't know. So they take them off while they're alive. Why do they do it? Because they make them. Well, that's one reason. Another reason, they make them more domicile. They make them more calm.
I understand that process.
Yeah. So to feed those to a non-Jew would be prohibited. You're not allowed to. Or there's a beer that's made here in Colorado that uses Rocky Mountain. I don't know if it was a one-off or a something, but there was a wine coop beer that was brewed with Rocky Mountain oysters. That would be prohibited for a Jew to sell to a non-Jew, even though there's no bus of a
Cholera. Part of the animal.
Yeah.
It's probably still alive.
That's right.
So we can't sell it to the non-Jews, but can they eat it then?
No, they're not allowed to eat them.
They're not allowed to eat it either.
Yeah, they're not allowed to. Yeah.
I'm
not policing. I'm not policing them, but they do what they don't.
Has the name that it has.
Yeah, correct.
It's a delicacy.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
All
right, so that's all.
That was very interesting.
Oh, good. Yeah, Patty.
It's still a little far afield what you're talking about, but it's in the realm. We get to not eat chicken and call chicken meat or fowl.